Accession number 27799, Mr. Laurie Godfrey, Rail 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Godfrey?
Purfleet, Essex, 26/11/23.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background?
Well, I lived with my grandmother, actually, at the Hollow Cottages, Purfleet, until I was went into the service, actually.
And what sort of a family life did you have there? I mean, was it a happy Brit upbringing?
I was quite happy in those days, yeah, yes.
And what did your grandparents do for a living?
Well, my old grandfather was a farmer, worked on the farm a lot. And my grandmother, during the First World War, apparently, she used to do washing for the troops up at Purfleet Rifle Range there. And then she suffered with arthritis.
Were the family well enough off for the time? I mean, things have changed, but...
Well, I wouldn't say well enough off. I mean, everybody in those days were on a sort of a level, weren't they? You know, coconut matting and table and chairs and good food, like, you know. We never had any electricity or gas to start with. And that came later on, like, you know. And the water used to be collected from one tap between six cottages in the Hollow Cottages, Purfleet. A lot of people wouldn't believe that, but that was one tap between six cottages.
Was it a happy childhood?
I think so, yes. Yeah.
Now, what about your education? Tell us about that.
Well, just the ordinary elementary education at Purfleet School.
Any subjects you were good at, bad at, anything?
Arithmetic was... I wasn't too bad at arithmetic, you know.
And you were there till 14, were you?
Till 14, yeah.
So just absolutely 3 hours, not much else. Basic, good, solid education. But
that's right, yeah.
Was there any chance of you going on to a grammar school?
No,
or
no.
Was that because of the...
Well, I don't know. In those days, Palmer's College. I think if you pass certain education standard, you would probably gone to the intermediate school or the Palmer School. But I stayed at Purfleet School.
Now, what about outside of school? Did you have any big hobbies? I mean, sports, one that some people are, you know, interested in.
Well, like most sports, really. Yeah. Play football, cricket.
Who for? The school or for clubs?
Well, I used to play for the school, and I played for the Blue Circle Club. That's when I was working, right, you know, cricket. The wife and I used to go dancing lessons and also finished up bowling, green bowling.
Now, what about your work, your first work?
First work, when I came out of service in 46.
Before you came out of the services, you'd be in work.
Oh, yes.
37
yes.
to...
On the Corporative Bakery, roundsman.
Now, what does that mean? Tell us a bit about it. Give us an idea of what a typical day's work was like.
Well, you load up your vehicle in the morning. You put in how much bread, cakes, and God knows what you needed for the day's work, and that was loaded up. And after the day's work, you come back in. Anything you return, you book in, and ready for the next day, put your order in for the next day.
So you just go around, would you be going around to regular customers, or would the customers have placed an order with the bakery? How is it done?
You had your regular customers, right, yeah. Yeah.
And you just went to them?
Yes.
Were you on your own, or would there be somebody driving?
I had a lad with me at the time. But if we're going from the beginning, I was a boy myself with another driver, and then I took over. At the age of 16, I took over myself.
Did you enjoy the job?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked travelling about, My wife used to say, worst job you ever had, driving. I enjoyed it, really.
And you did that until the outbreak of war?
Yep.
Now, do you remember, it's the old joke in a way, the day war broke out, you know, did you hear the wireless broadcast? What did you think? What were you doing when war broke out in the 30s?
I don't think... it's up to say, really. I don't think we thought a lot about it, really, at that age, like, you know. Mind you, I had joined the Air Defence Cadet Corps, so we was doing, you know, training in that.
Now, when did you join them?
Well, I joined them in, when I was 16, in, it'd be 39.
So, you know.
1939.
So, just after the outbreak of war?
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of months later.
About that,
now,
yeah.
What sort of, well, let's do them. What sort of training did you have with them? That's the Air Defence Cadet Corps.
Well, we used to do drilling and, you know, rifle drill and sports, all that, like, you know, nothing to do with the aircraft at that time. It was just like the Boy Scouts, drilling and all that, like, you know.
And did you get the uniform and everything else? You know?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir, I am up there by the brick wall.
It looks pretty normal service dress RAF.
It was more or less, yeah. They sort of altered it a bit, but after, like, for the ATC, I got a different uniform there.
Did you go away on an annual camp with them?
No, no, we never had any annual camps. Eh? No.
Any visits to airfields?
No, no.
So it really
Oh,
was.
Yes, Hornchurch. We went to Hornchurch once, yeah. And went to Hornchurch.
What did they do?
The fighter command there. And we stayed there. So many of us stayed there one night, and we was putting the bullets into the belts for the fighters, like, you know.
Now, what about, once the war had started, what about air raid defence things? I mean, did you have an Anderson shelter?
Yes, we did.
Now, yeah. Who put that in? Can you tell us, because people don't know now what they are, what was an Anderson shelter? Who put it in and what was it like inside it?
Well, it was an oval shelter, right, you know, the... I was going to say tin, but it was an iron shelter, wasn't it? More or less.
Corrugated iron.
Corrugated iron, yeah. And I think they put in by that. I believe the local councils that put them in, I believe.
And what was it like inside? What did you put inside?
fair enough, it was a bit dampish at times, like, but yeah, not too bad. Anyway.
Did you go in it much?
Well, once the warning went, we was down there, yes. Quite a bit.
Bunks in there or anything else?
Bunk?
Do you have any bunks in there or anything?
No, no, no. No. Just put a blanket down and...
It was a dry one then?
That's right, yeah.
Dry inside. So yes. Some of them were wet.
Oh, yes. No, this was quite all right, yeah.
Now, what about the blackout? What blackout arrangements did your grandparents make?
Well... We never had a lot of lighting in, not in the in the cottage we was in. You know, my old grandmother had a lamp on the table, and it took about a couple of years before we got the gas mantles in and that, right, you know. So, wasn't a lot of light given out from us anyway.
So it was just a matter of switching the light off or a normal curtain would keep it.
That's right. Hmm.
Did it affect you on your rounds? You know, because, I mean, you get, when the blackout's in and you're out on your delivery rounds and it's not summer, it's dark pretty well early in the morning and at night. I mean, did you have any problem with the blackout?
None at all. No.
So how did the war affect your life the first couple of years then, you know? You know, before you join up in February 42, was there any bombing in the area?
Well, we had the, the Jerry's were coming over bombing, right, but and being near, not far from Hornchurch, we saw the fighters, you know, after the...
It's all right.
Up there after the old 111s and that, right, you know, we saw the dogfights, right, you know, yeah.
And what about any bombing of Purfleet itself?
The Anglo, oil jetty was bombed, yes. One of the oil tanks was bombed. And mostly they was following the river up, right up to London, really.
So you were slightly away.
Some were taken off by the fighters, like, you know, yeah. Then they had the balloons across the river at the time when they started the flying bombs, like, you know.
That's a bit later, right.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at how you came to join. I mean, you volunteered, didn't you?
Yes, yeah.
Now, tell me, why...
Well, I wanted to go into the RAF.
Now, why did you want to go in the RAF? You know, I mean, what made...
Well, that's what I'd set my mind on. I thought I was going to be a pilot, you know. I was all for that, but... So I went to Romford and volunteered just before I was 18 and had a medical there. And then about February in 42.
When you went, so you'd go there, what, about October 1941, you'd volunteer, if it was just before your birthday. What about the medical? How strict was it?
Oh, quite strict medical, yes.
I mean, did they check colour blindness and things like that? Because you know they are.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, mostly when I went to Oxford, that's further on. Stricter medical.
Oh, right, we'll come to
that.
So you volunteered and then they called you up.
Well, partially the original medical was okay, yeah.
And then your call up was in February?
February 42, I was the letter came to go to Oxford University. And that was for choosing for aircrew. I put in for aircrew, you see. So we went there and that was the... we had a stiffer medical there.
In that what
way?
As you say,
colour blind and hearing and everything. It was quite a stiff medical. You had to pass that medical to get through, right, you know. And then we had a written exam and then go before the... what have I got down here?
It says you're interviewed in front of the station commander, I think it was.
That's right, yeah.
Now, do you remember anything about the interview? You were interviewed by the selection committee. Sorry, that's right.
Selection committee, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what sort of thing were they after, do you think? What do you remember anything about that interview?
Well, they asked me why I wanted to go in the RAF and why I wanted to be a pilot. And, you know, just seeing that you're keen to go in. But I think at that time, I was offered the Wireless Op AG, possibly, I think, it was the type of aircrew that they needed at that particular time, possibly. You know, they was losing quite a few air gunners, and I suppose they wanted wireless operator air gunners, and they had plenty of pilots at the time. Nearly everybody wanted to be a pilot.
So what did you think? I mean, they offer it to you. What do you think?
Oh, I took it, yeah.
So you weren't that...
I was keen.
You were keen to be whatever it was you'd do.
Yeah, to as long as I could get in, yeah.
So you accepted...
Not realising the consequences later.
So you accepted the prospect of training as a wireless operator air gunner?
I did, yes, yeah.
Now, you were called up then in July 42, weren't you?
42, before I was called up.
So you, all that time you carry on working as a baker's...
Well, my normal working, yeah.
So the next thing then is where were you called up to go?
Padgate.
What was that? Right. Is that an aircrew selection? What is Padgate there?
Well, Padgate then was we all met there and we was given our clothing, like, you know, all our uniform, overcoat.
Do you remember exactly what you got? I know it's difficult, but
vest, pants, down to it, and a uniform, overcoat, forage cap, all the normal. Yeah.
And that's just a reception centre, isn't it, Padgate?
That's right.
As far as
yeah.
I know, it's nothing else, is it?
No.
Anything else happened to you there other than kitting out?
No.
Now, and then where were you to go then? That's where.
Posted down to Blackpool.
Now, do you know what the Blackpool station's called? Is it? Are you going there for initial training as a wireless operator, air gunner?
That's right, yeah.
Do you know what the place was called? Because a lot of people don't seem to know whether it's just called a wireless school or what it was called. Do you know?
Well, I was there for training to be a wireless op IG, but the fact was, I think most of it was your initial training, fetching us into line light, training, drilling around the streets. And
now, where were you based? Were you in billets, hotel billets, or boarding house billets?
Boarding houses.
What were they like? Tell us about your
billets.
All right,
not too bad at all, yeah. We had one lady, I think it was in Wellington Road. She demanded that we was in by 11 o'clock, and if we wasn't, the doors were shut.
Did she carry out a threat?
Oh, she tried it a couple of times.
Were they comfy? I mean, were you sort of one per room, or were you sharing rooms? You know, two or three?
Well, sharing room, I think it was about three in our room, my room, right, yeah.
Mm. And it's just normal size room, about three of you?
Yeah, yeah.
Proper beds, or?
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
And what was the food like? Did they provide the food, or did you go in for food?
Yes, the food wasn't too bad.
Now, tell me, the training, how did you take to marching and drilling? You'd done it in the air corps.
Oh, most of it in the air training corps, yeah. Because the old sergeant got us up in, when we first got there, he got us all lined up, and he said, hands up, those of you who've been in the Air Defence Cadet Corps or the Army Cadets, and because we couldn't get our hands up quick enough, we thought it. He said, well, you can put your bloody hands down. He said, we forget everything you learned in there. He said, it'll be different.
Was it different?
Well, not really, no. Same as what we were doing in the cadets, really.
So it wasn't.
Mind you, the corporals that used to do our drilling, they were a bit strict with us, like, you know. But it wasn't bad. I mean, a bit of discipline didn't hurt anybody, did it?
Now, so what did you think of drill? I mean, you personally, I mean, did you understand why you had to do so much of it in the RAF? Or,
that was an accepted thing, really.
Did you take to it well, or were you one of these penguins, or did you have any
trouble? No, I was all right. Yeah, I took to it all right, yeah. We used to go down on the beach for physical training and march up to Derby Bowls for swimming. And
could you swim?
I couldn't at the time, but I soon learned.
How did they teach? I mean, did they teach you in the old-fashioned way of just pushing you in, or did they teach you properly?
No, they taught you to swim properly, really, yeah. And then...
What about physical training, PT? Did you do much of it? You know, route marches, running?
Yeah, pack on your back, rifle and running up. I don't know why, but we ever do that as well.
So, just generally basic training?
That's right. Mm.
Now, did you start your Morse code training there?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, how did they... Because this is going to be important.
Well, we used to go up, I think it was above top of Walrus. And we had to get up to 12 words per minute before we left there, which was receiving and sending messages like that.
Now, how did they actually
do
it?
Learn the code, you know. I to Z and figures code 1 to 10. Yeah.
How did they actually train you? You know, I mean, were you all in a...
Well, we were sitting around and had the keys around there, and, you know, with the letters that you... I is...
And who are you sending
dash.
To?
Pardon?
Who are you sending to? Who checked you?
Well, that was they had instructors up there as well. So it was done inside in the building, like, you know, wasn't sending any messages out to anybody. It was done in the building.
Just to him.
Yes, that's right.
And he'd check it as he goes.
He's checking the yeah.
And how did you take to Morse? Because some people seem to find it.
Well, I got it okay. A bit boring at times, but I did get it okay.
Were you a natural, or were you one of the ones who had to learn? You know, took a bit of effort. Well, some people seem
I picked it up okay. I was surprised, really, yeah.
No problem receiving or sending?
No.
Now, did they test you to get up to this 12 words per minute?
Oh, yes, you get a test that you can do the 12 words a minute, and sending as well, right, and receiving, yeah.
And you had to make that?
Oh, yes, yeah, before you moved on from there. Now, if you didn't do it, I mean, some never passed, and... So I think they was offered just straight air gunners, yeah.
But you wanted the wireless operator part as well.
Well, as part of my learning, and I made it, like, you know.
Anything else you were learning at Blackpool?
not really. All of mine.
How are you getting out on with the other lads on the course? Because were they from the same sort of background as yourself? What sort of lads were they, the recruits?
Oh, more or less like myself, you know. All, we're only young lads, weren't we? 18 years old.
So no trouble, no bullying?
No.
And did you make friends from across the range, or was it just mainly people from sort of London and Hornchurch you got on with? I mean,
well, mainly my friends from where we was in the billets, like, you know, Civvy billet.
So it was that mattered more than where you came from in London or Scotland or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, what was your next? So the next move would be when you went down to Yatesbury.
Number 2 radio school, Yatesbury.
And what happened then? Because that's where they're actually teaching you, isn't it?
Well, that was further training. We had to get up to 18 words a minute then. And we had quite a few naval instructors in the classes as well.
Now, when would you get there then? Because it seems to be July 43 you're there. So how long had all the rest of it taken? How long had you been at Blackpool?
Blackpool was about 3 months here, I suppose. Yeah.
Right. So you went to Yatesbury in July 43? That seems to
be. Yeah, I put all the dates on there. Yeah.
Seems to be. Tell me how you go on. What were they trying to get you up to then when you got to there? What speed were they after?
Yatesbury, you got up to 18 words a minute.
And any problems with that?
No, that was all right. Yeah.
And what about you? One thing you do there is you have your first air experience flight. Was that be your first?
Well, that was. Yeah, you've done your ground course first.
Right. Tell us about the ground course then.
That was it. Apart from then you had your drilling and bringing you into line sort of thing. Yeah.
So then, what was your first air experience flight like?
Well, that came after that course. I had to go out to, I was posted to Madley at about 2 months there.
Oh, sorry, that's my fault, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Number 2, you're just really continuation of training at Yatesbury, and then you go to Madley, right?
I posted out to Madley. I think the idea was probably had enough training, the flying training, until there was a vacancy for the rest to come back in. So I went to Madley for 2 months, and I had further, sending and receiving messages and that, and then came back to Yatesbury for the flying instruction on Proctors and Dominies.
Right. So you do you remember anything about Madley, your time at Madley? There's nothing much here about it.
No. Just a matter of, going to the school, like, for training, further messages sent out and receiving.
Now, what happened when you got back to Yatesbury then?
Well, then we was in the flying school then. It was a training for taking off and using your wireless radio in the air, like.
Now, what was your first flight like? Your first, it'd be your first flight ever, wouldn't it?
Oh yes, yeah.
What was it like? Because some people really remember the first flight.
I think it had an Elson pen at the back, where most of us were sick to start with. Because there's a lot of air pockets around that area, and being in a light aircraft,
It was a Proctor, was it?
The Dominey first, and then the Proctor.
And
the Proctor was the single.
Now, was air sickness a big problem?
Not really, no. I was only sick that once, that was it. No problem otherwise.
It never happened again?
No. No, it never bothered me any further.
Now, what were you learning then up there? I mean, what sort of flights were you doing?
We was out for about an hour at a time, I think, roughly. And you're just sending different stations, picking up different stations. asking for bearings, fixes, you know, just training for sending and receiving.
And anything happen in them flights? I mean, they're just routine flights, aren't they? There's, yes, there's lots of them down here. They're normally, yeah, for about an hour, a bit over an hour.
That's right. Mm.
And anything that you remember about any of them, or anything that you...
Nothing,
you
know, outstanding, no, just normal, yeah.
So, that you were there until... I'm not quite sure, it didn't say either one there. You went to Walney Island.
That's right.
In September. Now that's your gunnery course, is it?
Gunnery course, yeah.
Now Walney Island, that's
number 10. Number 10 IGS Air Gunnery School. Walney Island was over the bridge from Barrow in Furness.
So it's up in, is it Cumbria? I'm not sure.
Yes.
You were there for a couple of months from September, right, to, yeah, November 1943.
That was a gunnery course on Anson's.
Now tell me about, take me through what how they were training you on that then. You've done the wireless side now. This is just learning as a gunner.
Yeah.
So how did they actually do it?
Well, the Martinet towed a drogue, and we used to go up, and I think it's totally in there, you get quarter cross under a different... firing at this drogue, and your hits were done the score, like, you know. I think I was lucky to pass out. Well, they gave me 76.75%. I thought I was dead lucky there.
So firing at the drogues, and
yeah, and it carried towed a drogue, right, you know, martinet.
Did they do any where they have fighters pretending to attack? You have a camera gun. Did you do any of that there?
No, not there. Not there. No.
And anything else you were doing while you were at Walney? There didn't seem to be anything.
Well, nothing else other than training or down the gymnasium, like, you know. That. Mm.
So, and you were there for a couple of months? A
couple of months, yeah.
And then?
Once you got through that, that's when they give you your three stripes and your air gunner's brevity. Why we had an air gunner's brevity then, I'll never know, because we were signals, actually. But they'd done that later in.
So that's where you qualified?
You qualified at Air Gunnery School. Mm.
And so your next posting, your full-time posting is, well, it's the next stage. It's the training unit.
Well, mostly training then. Like, you know, I went to Cark, Cark and Cartmel, it was up in near Morecambe.
Now,
Staff Pilots Training Unit.
Now, what exactly is that Staff Pilots Training Unit? Does it have a name other than that, or is it?
Well, either just a Staff Pilots Training Unit, and mostly on Anson's, and more or less training for them. And myself, I used to just send out messages or receive messages, get fixes, bearings, and so forth, like extra training, like.
So you were just
using
another
the key,
part.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't imagine much happened there.
No.
That's from December 43 to January 43.
That's right. Mm.
And so what next?
I think I'll put the hours that we've on that course.
Yeah, you 24 and a half hours by day, and 23 hours,
right,
5 minutes by night.
Right, that's right. I put all the times down out of the logbook there. Yeah.
And nothing again, but it was routine flying.
Yes. Yeah.
As far as you were concerned.
Yes, that's right. Mm.